So the first, therefore, it should be said that God is said to be in all things through essence, huh? Not because he is, what? Of things as being of their very essence, but because through his essence, right? His substance is present to all things as the cause of their being, right? So the way of speaking is a little bit, it seems to be awkward, you know, to say that in all things through what? Essence, right? Huh? It's has an ambiguity to it, right? So it needs to be explained how it's to be understood, right? But it seems to have something to do with the fact that the word essence is related to the word esse, huh? And so God is, through his essence, present to all things as giving them what? Their being, right? Huh? Because God's essence is his being, right? So God is being essentially. So all the things are partaking of the divine being. So there's some appropriateness to it, but still it could be easily misunderstood. Now the second objection, huh? That what is present to things is not what? Lacking to them, right? Not absent from them and so on. And it's superfluous, therefore, to say that he's in all things both through essence and presence. To the second, it should be said that something is able to be said to be present to something insofar as it is subject to its what? Sight, right? Okay? Which nevertheless is distant from it according to its substance, as has been said. And therefore it is necessary that there be two ways laid down, namely through essence and through presence. So God is what? Everywhere, in a way, through his what? Knowledge, right? Huh? And he's everywhere through giving what? Existence to things, right? Okay? And those are two different ways of being everywhere. Now the third one says, why do you say power and not through science and will? And he says, to the third it should be said that so the notion of science and the will, that the thing known be in the knower, right, and the thing willed in the one willing. Whence, according to knowledge and will, things are more in God than God in things. But it's of the notion of power that it be a beginning of acting in another. Whence, according to power, the agent is compared and applied to an exterior thing. And thus, through power, the agent can be said to be in what? Another, right? Huh? Okay. Now sometimes Thomas will point out, you know, if you use the word power with respect to knowing and willing in God, you can't really say there's a real distinction between the two, right? Because there's no, what, difference in act and ability in God, huh? But if you take power in comparison to exterior things, then those exterior things and God's power are really, what, distinct, right? And that's why I use the word power more than the word will or reason. Now, the fourth objection, and this goes now to the other way of God being in things as their, what, object, right, huh? To the fourth, it should be said that no other perfection added to substance makes God to be in something as the object known and loved except grace. And therefore, grace alone makes a singular way for being a God in things. There's, however, another singular mode of being for God and man through union. At least referring to the what? Incarnation, I think, right? Mm. Okay. About which in its place will be treated, huh? Mm. Okay.